Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
We're kind of talking about managing your digital life because things are definitely getting more disconnected, even as they claim that we're more connected than ever, because we're not actually, a lot of people just aren't even around humans anymore. They're working from home or they live in a place where they're not allowed to go out without government permission. I don't know if y'all heard, Austria just put in a lockdown for everyone who is unvaccinated.
Austria or Australia?
Austria, yeah, okay. Austria.
Really scary.
I'm not surprised. I mean, they're coming, and it's going to hit the United States as well. They've telegraphed it pretty hard.
Yeah, so that's happening. I don't have any more details on it, but it apparently just went into effect at, like, midnight, like, Europe time, so it's been several hours now that it's been going on there. Of course, Australia also in a really bad way. But, you know, prior to COVID, society was going in this more digital direction of people being meeting on phones. Young people, for instance, not going on dates as much anymore. There was even a headline the other day that says men are less interested in sex.
I've been seeing a lot of that lately. That, I mean, like on Drudge Report and stuff like that. What did they call it? I don't remember the exact terminology, but basically an epidemic of people not having sex.
Yeah.
I don't know where these people are getting their studies from.
It's surprising because you would think that after being kept locked down for some amount of time that people would sort of go in the reverse direction, you know, the pendulum swinging in the other direction and then go like sex crazy, right? Like if they weren't able
to have
sex.
Like the baby boom after World War II.
Right. Or, the Roaring Twenties, for instance. So if you want to weigh in on any of this, you're certainly welcome to join us. Aria, you were sharing a story, and you said we pretty much got through the bulk of the points they were making, but about notifications and people being ruled by them.
We did, but there's still some more stuff in here worth talking about.
Okay.
So this one woman, who we're skipping a lot of the stuff here because it was just useless background information, she started wearing AirPods and listening to an audiobook or music during the workday, which is what I do during the workday. I constantly have music going, and even if my phone was vibrating, I wouldn't have heard it over that. And she convinced her husband to turn off notifications when he's working in more central parts of the house. Sean Burke tried to eliminate notifications he felt were useless, like ads from Uber, so he could focus on the ones he can't miss. But recently, he is greeted with a new phantom beep. He couldn't even figure out which device it was coming from. I'd move to another part of the house, and bam, it would pop up again, he says. He isolated his Samsung watch, which he had recently reset in the bathroom. After 48 hours, he was eventually able to diagnose the issue, a default to factory settings he had inadvertently triggered. This was all supposed to make our life easier, he lamented. And it didn't. I mean, he felt victorious afterwards, surveying his collection of 7 work and personal computers, phone, and watch.
God.
And he sometimes wonders if it's all worth it. Obviously not. Turning off notifications, it's made my life a lot easier. And I'm really thrilled that I actually bothered to look into how to put this phone into just complete silent mode, because even vibrating is annoying.
Yeah.
I mean, especially if I set it here on the table or something like that. Yeah. I don't want to hear it, and you can hear it.
It's distracting, too, by the way. Like, sometimes when that happens, some host will have their phone on the table. You know, I look around, whether I'm in the first seat or the third seat or wherever, I'm like, okay, where is that coming from? You know, we've got to stop the noise.
But even when I'm not doing the show, even when I'm at home, I want my phone to not make noise.
Yeah.
Because I didn't get it because I wanted to make noise at me. I got it to make my life easier. And if it's making noise at me, creating demands of me, then it's not making my life easier. It's just making my life more hectic.
Yeah, the more you can cut out, I think the better, the more focused you're going to be in your life. And it is a challenge. You know, people do want your attention, whether it be spammers or people you actually care about. It all gets kind of mixed together. So the more that you can cut out. But it seems like a never-ending process, right? Like sometimes when I'm going through emails, there's some email from some company that I don't want to hear from, you know, that I got on their email list however long ago. I'm like, all right, I'll click unsubscribe on that. But it's not like the volume of emails goes down. It just feels like something I have to do because I know at least I won't get emails from that company anymore.
It's weird how it feels like it never works. Yeah. The only one that it's ever told me that it went into the unwanted
spam.
It's called unwanted because okay. I've told them I don't want to be on their list and then they put me back on. It's Footlocker, something that I've like never shopped at.
Wow.
Is like I put like unsubscribe me. Now it just goes. It's the only thing in this unwanted on Gmail thing is Footlocker because I told it to stop and it just won't stop.
Just
the other
coming.
Ones, they do stop, but it just feels like you never actually cut a dent into the amount of spam.
Well, like Facebook is like that. You unsubscribe to Facebook's notification emails and then it starts sending you emails. Hey, your friend posted this and you have to unsubscribe from that one. Oh, right. You got a new notification or a new comment. You have to unsubscribe from that one. So I found a better solution instead of unsubscribing is to just create a new filter and have it automatically go into your own non-Gmail made junk folder.
I see. Dump it into the folder you won't look at.
Skip the inbox and just send it there. That way you never have to deal with it again. But it's not a perfect solution because like DoorDash or something that will suddenly use a slightly different email address and it will get through. But there's really no good solution to the email spam problem.
No, there really isn't.
And if you don't start out your email address staying on top of it, you're going to end up, like my personal email address has something like 16,000 unread emails. And I would love to just be able to hit a button that dumps everything. Just delete all of them.
Because, they don't have that button.
No. So the only way to do anything about that would be to go through there out of 16,000 emails and mass select them and mass delete them. And it only allows you to do like 50 at a time. It's like, dude, at this point, it's Google's problem. It's taking up their space. So let them deal with it.
I also have thousands of emails that are unread or just read and sitting there, but I couldn't click delete it all because at some point I'm going to need to search through them and find one from like years ago. It always happens.
See, I thought that when I was looking for a way to just mass purge my Gmail account, but I was like, look, I know what the important things are that I'm going to need, so I need to just go ahead and make a backup of those now, and the rest of it,
screw it.
Yeah, I'm not going to need it again, and if I do, sorry.
Oh, well.
Yeah, that was, why do I need this thing that you emailed me 4.5 years ago? Maybe you should have stayed in touch better. But now it's gone, and if you want to forward me your copy of it, sure, I will look at it.
So I do remember, you know, all this talk about notifications and bringing up Facebook reminds me of the days when I was on Facebook. I've now been off since the very beginning of 2018. But getting off of their system, which is designed to be addictive, it's designed to demand your attention as much of it as possible. And
it's so much worse these days, man. Like, I get Facebook notifications and, hey, your friend shared this post with someone else. Dude, I don't care. Just swipe, make that notification go away. I don't want it at all.
So I just wanted to share what sort of my procedure was to finally breaking up with Facebook. At first, one of the earlier things I did was I uninstalled their app from my phone. Just got rid of it. It had become this sort of, and this was several years ago. This was years before I quit, which I quit years ago. I quit using their app, and it had just started getting really bulky. Like, the size of the app just kept on growing and growing. It was like a gigabyte of God knows what data they were storing in this thing. And then they started splitting it into other apps. So then it became Facebook Messenger as a separate app, and then it was Facebook Pages has its own app, and Facebook. So there were at least three different apps.
They finally fixed that.
Oh, did they?
Yes. You can actually finally browse Facebook as the Free Talk Live page.
Well, anyway, I uninstalled their apps entirely. I did not go through that process of dealing with that. So I uninstalled that. And then I noticed I was still addicted to still using Facebook on just a normal browser, and I would constantly be checking notifications. The little notification light would come on. And, you know, even if there was one notification, I would feel like I should go and check it. Ooh, new thing. You know, sure. Something I haven't seen yet. And so the way I broke myself of the habit was I set a goal, like a little small little baby step goal of, okay, I'm not going to click on the notification icon until there's 5. And then I would only do it at 5. And then I set it to 10. And then I went to 20. And then I went to like 30. And then 50. And then 70 or something like that. And by the time I got up above like 50 or 70, because I was refusing to click that thing unless it hit that number. And by the time I got to 70, I was like, I just don't care what's there anymore. There's never anything worth looking at when I click this thing, so I just stopped caring at that point.
More good strategy.
Yeah, it worked.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
This is an important message. Do you have an IRA, 401k, or retirement account worth more than $100,000? Your portfolio may qualify for an IRS tax loophole that allows you to own physical, precious metals inside of your retirement account. Want our free report that shows you how? We are WealthProtectionResearch.com, and we help investors connect with the top precious metal companies in America to own physical gold and silver inside their retirement account using this little-known but very powerful IRS loophole. To claim your free IRS loophole report today, just text the word gold to 48542. WealthProtectionResearch.com wants to get this information in your hands now so that you can protect your hard-earned investments. Text G-O-L-D to 48542 to learn more. When you text the word gold to 48542, we'll send you a secure link to download our IRS loophole report to show you how to start protecting your wealth with precious metals. Don't wait. Text the word gold to 48542 now. Wealth Protection Research. Text gold to 48542.
Do you owe the IRS $10,000 or more in back taxes? Are you being audited or investigated? Has the IRS sent you a letter demanding payment? You may not owe what they claim. Make this free call to the Tax Doctor now. Let them negotiate with the IRS on your behalf.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork. You know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
As Dr. Wallach says, we all have nutrient deficiencies in our diets and must supplement with 90 essential nutrients in proper balances. At no cost or obligation, get a personal certified holistic health coach to help you develop a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
It's Free Talk Live. You can join. remember, Joseph has joined the new AMPS Patreon, as have dozens of our listeners. We're over 50 of the number of people who've made the flip over to the AMPS program on Patreon. You can go to amps.freetalklive.com. And you can join us there. Once again, that's amps.freetalklive.com. You can do it for as little as $5 a month, which is what Joseph Scholl is doing. So thank you, Joseph, for helping us out there. It helps us advertise, market, promote, and support Free Talk Live. You get some cool perks as a result of doing that, and we definitely appreciate it. So thank you once again to everybody that's joined us over on our new AMPS Patreon at amps.freetalklive.com. We've been talking about sort of like life in the digital realm with notifications owning people's lives and having to wean themselves off of it by taking, you know, some measures.
I mean, Bonnie laughs, but it's a serious thing.
It really is. She's laughing out of embarrassment because she knows.
I'm not embarrassed. I just think it's true.
Yeah, you know it's a problem, right? Like, you admitted earlier that you... should have seen the look she gave me. You admitted earlier that you get distracted online, and we all do this, right?
Sure.
Like, you go off, you intend to do a certain thing on the internet, and something gets your attention, and before you know it, it's 20 minutes later, and you're like, oh, crap, what was I doing here?
Yeah.
Sometimes I don't even remember. Sometimes I'm like, why am I here? What am I...
happens to me every day.
Yeah.
I think that happens to you on Twitter.
It doesn't happen to me enough, and that's why in the list of things I requested permission to use, I asked for, like, TV tropes and Encyclopedia Dramatica so that I can go on those insane walks again and, like, why am I reading about elephants born in Norway or whatever?
Oh, my God.
So if you want to weigh in, you can hear the number 603-283-6160. We were also talking about live streaming and, you know, what the interest is that people have in this. And honestly, I think it's people are just looking for something to connect with. You know, there's...
I mean, how many people watching a live stream, though, are really going to engage in some of these super chats and things like that? These features that allow the...
A minority of them.
So most of them just... Are they even chatting? I mean, most of our viewers right now aren't really chatting. They're just watching. So what is it that appeals to them? Because that's not making them feel connected to us.
Sometimes it's the chat with the other people because you're part of a community, right? Like, that's the idea, is that, oh, these people share the same interest as you, even if the interest is the person to whom they are watching, right? Like, we are all interested in this person, and they're playing the video games, or they're cooking, or they're walking around, or whatever things that they are doing. We're their fans. We support them. We want them to be able to make a living without having to actually go and, you know, do a job or something like that, which I think is great, by the way.
Sure.
Like, you know, we may be poking fun, but at the same time, like, I think a lot of us grew up. I knew when I was growing up, like, the big deal was, ooh, people that loved video games wanted to become a video game tester, right? Because that was the way you could make money, by playing video games. None of us saw this coming, right? We always thought you had to be a video game tester or a programmer. It was the only way you could make money off of, you know, video games. And then somebody figured out, oh, hey, if I just point a camera at myself playing this and stream it online, that they can actually make a living doing it. And now thousands of people are able to make, you know, their full income from just playing video games on the internet and having no actual other skill.
That's what my nephew wants to do, is be a, you know, a YouTuber or a streamer or whatever. So when I go down there in December to visit him, I'm going to hook him up and get him all set up. And I don't expect he'll, you know, actually be willing to put in the work, but maybe he will be.
Is he really young?
I would have known that answer like 4 years ago before I moved here.
Doesn't your brother want to do the same thing?
I don't know if he wants to do the same thing, but he is 8, if that says anything, and he watches these all day, every day, and he, like, repeats their lingo. He'll be talking about them, like, he's like, oh, this streamer, and as if I should know their name, and he's obsessed. It's mostly like Mario streaming.
I mean, keep in mind that what I can and can't do online is pretty limited, but the vast majority of what I watch when I do watch something, it is a video game, someone playing a video game. Not a live stream. They usually do more editing and stuff like that and make it more entertaining, but that's usually what it is.
And I understand the reasons why people do that. I've done it as well. Like, oh, I want to see this game, but I don't want to buy it. You know,
I learned from watching these people, like,
You're going to play the game?
Yes.
Yeah.
I played the game regularly.
See, I don't play. I haven't played a game, like a game stream or whatever, for a year. At least, more than that. So I almost never put time into that. But I will watch like a game review or something like that, or a quick stream just to see somebody playing a game that I have some interest in. Like, oh, is this any good? Get this person's opinion, can see what it's like, and that's usually enough for me these days.
Sure.
Like, okay, I don't need to play it.
I guess I have watched. I mean, not a live stream. Yeah, it'd be like what Arya is describing, like someone playing a video game but not live to try to beat a game. That me and my little brother used to try to beat called Mario and Luigi Partners in Time. Like, if I got stuck at a part, like,
I never played Partners in Crime, but I loved Bowser's Inside Story.
My little brother loves that one, but Partners in Time is, like, my favorite game I've ever played.
But you'll watch it to get tips on how to
I'd be stuck.
Yeah, that's something they didn't have when I was growing up. You used to actually have to call, like, they actually had 900
or get a strategy
numbers.
Guide or something.
Yeah, well, they had strategy guide, but back in the 1980s, they actually had 900 numbers.
They did. My dad used to tell me about those. Yeah, not to, like, date you or anything.
You could call and get video game tips at, like, $3 a minute or something like that.
Whoa.
So it's changed quite a bit.
I used to wonder, well, I still kind of wonder, how do people figure out something like, oh, if you press ABXO, ABXO, then it'll do this secret thing. How do people figure it out in the first place?
They must not be figuring it out. It's leaked. It's got to come out from the company.
I don't know, man. People have figured out some weird stuff. Like I think it's the original Double Dragon. If you pick up a certain item at a certain time and walk up a wall, some people are just bored.
They will find those things. That's true. That's true. But like some obscure number of button presses, somebody leaks that from the company at some point. So if you want to join us here, 603-283-6160, you know, I hear a lot about young people, very, very young, like you guys are talking about young kids that are watching these live streams and they want to do that. Like, oh, I want to be a live streamer when I grow up. There's a lot of that now. And I find myself thinking, I think the time might have passed for them. You know, like,
I don't know if it
late.
Has or not, but I do know that if you want to be a YouTube game streamer, you have to actually play video games, not just watch people play video games. And I think that's what's going to be the rub for a lot of these kids who want to become YouTube streamers, because they spend all their time
watching
people playing instead of playing. Like, you give me a controller and expect me to play some Mario, I'm pretty good at it. Mm-hmm. But if I just spent all of my time watching someone play Mario, that doesn't give you the reflexes and the skills that you need to actually be good at it. We don't want to watch you die 40 times in the first 6 stages. Mm. No one's going to want to watch it. Unless that's your thing. Worst gamer on YouTube. I mean,
it could work.
It could work.
Somebody's probably already doing that one, though, right?
I don't know.
Well, they couldn't help but get better.
I would totally watch that if the person was entertaining while they were bad at video games.
That's the key. That's why, you know, that's what separates one player from another. One that might be popular from one that, you know, you can be really good, but if you're boring, it's not going to be something somebody's going to want to watch.
Playing bad video games is more entertaining. Like that SpongeBob one we watched.
There are some bad games out there.
Oh, yeah. 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Well, of course, that's what James the Nintendo Nerd has made his whole career on. But those are...
It may feel like age is just a number, but the fact is, even if you're healthy and active, your immune system weakens as you get older. And if you're 65 or older, you're at an increased risk for potentially serious illnesses like pneumococcal pneumonia. One way to help protect yourself is to get immunized against vaccine-preventable diseases like pneumococcal pneumonia. Dr. Jorge Gomez shares more on behalf of the American Lung Association.
Pneumococcal pneumonia is a potentially serious bacterial lung disease that can disrupt your life for weeks. Adults 65 or older are over 10 times more likely to be hospitalized with pneumococcal pneumonia than adults 18 to 49. You may also be at increased risk if you have certain chronic health conditions such as asthma, diabetes, or heart disease. If you're 65 or older, vaccination can help prevent pneumococcal pneumonia.
This flu season, visit lung.org/pneumococcal and talk to your doctor or pharmacist about pneumococcal vaccination.
USA Radio News.
I'm Brad Bernards. President Joe Biden signed one of his biggest legislative victories into law, the final approval of the hard-fought $555 billion infrastructure bill.
Okay, here we go.
Yeah.
Bravo. Thank you.
The act will direct billions of dollars toward new construction of roads, bridges, airports, and seaports. It will also expand the availability of broadband internet, replace lead pipes, and build electric vehicle charging stations. An Iranian Navy helicopter flew very close to a U.S. warship in the Gulf of Oman in an incident that eventually ended without escalation. Pentagon spokesman John Kirby told reporters the helicopter circled the U.S. Navy's multipurpose amphibious assault ship. This is USA Radio News. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen blamed the current U.S. inflation rate to the generalized crisis caused by the coronavirus pandemic and said that she expects the situation to stabilize within a year, although this depends on how the pandemic evolves.
The pandemic has been calling the shots for the economy and for inflation. And if we want to get inflation down, I think continuing to make progress against the pandemic is the most important thing we can do.
In a CBS interview, Yellen said that she believed that prices will return to their normal levels sometime during the second half of next year. A controversial $400 million border wall contract that prompted bitter charges by a top House Democrat of political interference by President Donald Trump wasn't awarded improperly, according to an investigation by the Department of Defense Inspector General. This is USA Radio News.
We are GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. We've got listeners, lots of them. Around the world, around the clock, our listeners do what listeners do. They listen. And you know what listeners got? Needs. Needs for your products, your services, and money to buy those needs. With our network of over 1,000 radio stations, streaming on the web, and our satellite transmissions, we're reaching our listeners with quality conservative programming. But there's something our listeners don't have. Your offer to meet their needs. Any business needs buyers. But if our listeners don't hear your message, they're still going to buy what they need. Just not from your business. So let's fix this. Tell us about your business. Then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message for our GCN listeners. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email, advertise@gcnlive.com.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
It's Free Talk Live. You can join us here. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. In the studio tonight, it's Ian.
And Bonnie.
And Aria. We've been talking about electronics and notifications, owning people, people's obsession with online streaming, and possibly, you know, making a living off of these things. You know, there's a lot of ups and downs to this stuff. Like, it's great that people can make a living off of streaming video games or just streaming themselves, you know, cooking or just talking or hanging out in their room and turn that into, you know, a living. That's incredible. But on the other side, it's also sad that that's what those people who are watching are, you know, obsessed with and totally interested in and spending their disposable income on this person who presumably they want to have some sort of contact with, whether it be a beautiful girl or a really talented gamer or whoever it is we're talking, some celebrity, whoever we're talking about.
See, I don't get the monetary aspect of it at all. Like, one of the people I watch a lot is this guy named Ryukar, who's so much better at Mario than me. Yes. Okay. He's so much better at Mario than me than it's ridiculous. I've got like 30-something world records. This dude has thousands.
Wow.
So he's up there. And I've watched a lot of his videos, but I've never felt compelled to give him a penny. Mm-hmm. And I don't understand why anyone would. Sure, he makes great content.
Do you get to see the chat? Because I know you say you don't watch live, so you watch playback. Does it show like the live chat playback as you're watching it?
Occasionally. Most of the stuff I watch are actually pre-recorded, edited things, and not done over live streams. Because
so you don't get to see how often he might get like a $5 donation or a $10 donation or something like
that? Well, I have seen some of his replayed live streams, and it's pretty common. I mean,
yeah.
Dude makes a lot of money.
Right.
Like thousands of dollars per stream. Sometimes tens of thousands per stream.
And what are the contents of the donated chats?
What do people say?
It's usually nothing of consequence.
Right. Something useless.
Yeah.
Right? It's like, oh, hey, man, nice job, or you look cool, or
great. I mean, sometimes they don't even do that. Right. They just, like, sing the stupid Lamb Chop song.
Mm-hmm.
This is a song that doesn't end. They just have the chatbot sing that. So right. It's sometimes it's completely stupid.
Yeah.
I don't know why people do it.
I've donated to one live stream, and I just remembered another live stream I've watched. It was whenever everybody thought that Trump was going to make TikTok illegal. So there were some TikTokers that were, like, doing live streams, like, this might be the last time I get to live. And there's this
you
one.
You donated?
There's
clever
one,
marketing.
I donated, like, $2. Do you know who Nanny Ma is?
Was that the character that acts all redneck?
Yeah.
Yeah,
she acts like a redneck grandma, and it's so accurate.
Funny.
If you're from the South, that's literally like a redneck, or not a redneck grandma, just a southern grandma.
You showed me her or him. It's a guy playing a
southern grandma, and it's so
funny.
And I just donated, and I said, "I love you, Nanny Mom." And he was like, "Thanks for the $2 chat, Bonnie."
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with giving to somebody that entertains you.
Sure, but he's getting paid from the ads that I get served. Well, not really, because I use an ad block. But for most people. He's getting paid by the ads that, you know, were being served. And when I, you know, use my television app to watch YouTube as I'm going to sleep or something like that, and I'm still getting the ads, so he's still getting paid. But that's how he's getting paid, dude. I'm not going to subsidize. That's what YouTube exists to do. That's the whole platform they set up. If you want me to pay you, get rid of the ads on Twitch. Then I'll pay you.
Well, and that is what the Twitch subscriptions do, right?
Do they?
Like if you subscribe to somebody on Twitch, they cut the ads out of the broadcast. As
I don't know. I don't use Twitch much anymore.
That's as I understand it. We used to.
But the same
Twitch
is true for YouTube as well.
Okay.
Except I don't think YouTube has a way to pay for a subscription, or maybe they do now. I don't know.
I don't know either.
I just use these platforms to watch content, and I don't want them to be any more complicated than that.
Well, at the same time, I understand that the platforms themselves take huge chunks of these donations, right?
Yeah.
So I don't even know what YouTube takes out of the so-called super chats, but I bet you it's close to half of whatever comes in for these donations.
I assume they use like some sort of third-party software for the super chats instead of going through YouTube, because that way YouTube can't take it.
Well, so there is that. So like if tip.lrn.fm, you go to that and you donate that way, you're not going through Twitch. Twitch will take almost half, I think, of what you send in. And I suspect these other ones are the same way, because it's big revenue for them, right? Because they know that people want to give, and they give them an easy way to do it. But you can provide your viewers with an alternative way where you can actually get more of what comes in.
I just assumed everyone did it that way.
But I don't think there's anything wrong. Like, for instance, I subscribe to, there's a channel on YouTube I like. They do movie reviews. They're called Double Toasted. It's like a couple black guys and like a couple of white dudes sometimes that they got great rapport. They're hilarious. They're really fun to watch. And so, like, okay, I joined their Patreon, you know?
Like, sure.
I don't sit there and watch them
live. I like Patreon.
Yeah. I don't sit there and watch them live. I don't throw money at them in a live stream. But ultimately, there's really no difference in that, right? Like, I'm giving on a monthly basis to them, and some people want to throw money at them live, right? Like,
the difference to me is that Patreon allows them to be decentralized, and if YouTube axes them, they still have some income going. They don't have all of their eggs in one basket.
Well, that's true.
Except it's the Patreon basket.
Yeah, right. It's another centralized basket, but yeah, it's an alternative.
So YouTube kicking them off won't completely kill their income. This has happened to live streamers.
Yeah.
But, like, Jim Sterling, who was someone I used to interact with a lot, he moved to Patreon, and he just exploded in popularity and money-making potential because he didn't have all of his stuff in YouTube anymore.
Right.
The only Patreon I ever subscribed to, it was a YouTuber's Patreon that I liked, but the reason I joined it was because there was, like, a community on there, kind of. Like, we were in a book club, so we were all reading a book together and discussing it, and they were, like, praying for me when I was going to court because I was really afraid I was going to, like, go to jail for cussing out a cop.
And you didn't?
Nope.
Okay, good.
I mean, as a content creator, I'm also totally okay. I don't want people to think I'm a hypocrite or anything. I'm totally okay with creating content and giving it to people and not expecting them to give me a penny for it.
Sure.
I'm not doing it because I want to make money. I'm doing it because I enjoy making the content. And I just have it in my heart that if someone's doing it because they want to make money, then I don't support their content in the first place. I don't support that motive as a reason for making art.
There was a really obnoxious video of this girl that was a Twitch girl who, like, I guess either just sits there looking hot or maybe plays video games. Mm-hmm. I don't remember her name or anything.
Is that her call?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And she was going on a rant about how if you're watching her, you need to be donating and all this stuff. It was really obnoxious.
I bet it was successful, though.
I bet it was.
E-thought, I think, is the term.
I've heard e-girl. I've heard e-thought. I mean, thoughts are generally considered E, aren't they, or no? I guess you can be a thought in real life.
Yeah.
Well, thought stands for that hoe over there, by the way, for our listeners that are uninitiated on that. So basically this girl that you were watching feels like people should feel obligated.
I wasn't really watching her. It was like I saw people discussing it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so they were playing that video and then talking about how they thought she was being dumb.
Well, that sounds to me like she's trying to be this financial dominatrix character.
Hmm.
Oh, and that works.
Yeah, where a girl will shame men, basically, into, like, donating to her, and then somehow they get some of them who are, like, really simpish, or whatever you want to say, addicted to her, and then they want, the men actually want to be told to give money, like...
I've always heard about this, but I have such a hard time believing these people actually exist.
It does work. I had a friend, it was actually a guy, who would do it with guys, but it wasn't like on a live stream. It would just be like one-to-one. Like, these people would text him, he would show me proof and everything. Like, he would be like, you're being such an idiot right now. Like, just they're having kind of a normal conversation throughout the day. He turns it into an argument. He'd be like, you're being such an idiot right now, send me $40. And they just would.
Yep.
It was really weird.
Pay my car payment.
Yeah, or they would. He would just get them to buy things for him, or like if he needed something, you know.
I don't understand it.
Yeah, it's hard to believe, but it's real. Like she's seen it.
Yes.
Like this is a real thing. I mean, you know, there are people that want to be physically dominated, right? Like you know that exists. People will hire a dominatrix to crack a whip and you know tell them what to do and get them to grovel, kiss her shoes or whatever.
Sure.
And this is the financial version of that where. It's actually a much better deal for the dominatrix. They don't even have to meet these creepy guys. They just have to tell them what to do and, like, how much money to give to the dominatrix. And then they just go, you know, laugh all the way to the bank. That sounds like a really cool job. You don't have to show them, you know, your boobs. You don't have to do anything.
Hi, I'm Al Abaroa, founder of Knight Strategic Wealth. Inflation is picking up, markets are volatile, and the dream of a comfortable retirement is harder to attain than ever before. Nobody wants to run out of money in retirement. That's why I'm going to share something that your financial advisor doesn't want you to know. With our investment strategy, when the stock market goes up, you earn a market-linked return that locks in every year. And when the stock market goes down, your investments won't lose a dime. There are no unnecessary fees, and it works for your investments, money to brokerage firm, or even money to bank. It's simple, it's safe, and that's why savvy investors work with us. Want to learn more? Text FREE to 833-898-0500 and we'll send our retirement readiness kit directly to your phone right now. If you want to help build a retirement portfolio that will go up with the market and never lose money, get our retirement readiness kit today and see how this strategy can help secure your future. Text FREE to 833-898-0500. Text FREE to 833-898-0500.
You've heard that supply lines are down or moving slow.
Or moving slow.
And that most everything costs more these days.
Costs more these days.
But good news. High-quality Sunny Bay products are in stock and ready to ship now because they're made in the USA. Like our extra-long neck heating pads. They provide soothing relief to painful sore necks and backs, are microwavable, and come in a variety of colors and patterns. What a great gift! An extra-long neck heating pad from Sunny Bay. Also available in lavender scented. Buy now in time for the holidays and avoid any shipping delays. Available on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, and sunny-bay.com. Just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. They're great for men or women, are reusable and easy to clean. So this year, give the gift of pain relief. An extra long neck wrap from Sunny Bay. Remember, just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pads. Order now when our stock is high and shipping is fast. And happy holidays from Sunny Bay.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who've helped people that have been injured or wronged. Have you been diagnosed with cancer? Are you one of the millions who have taken Zantac or other generic versions of this popular drug to help treat stomach issues? Then pay close attention to this message. The FDA said it detected low levels of a probable cancer-causing chemical known as NDMA in Zantac and other generic forms of this popular drug. They've banned sales and even removed it from the market. If you've been diagnosed with cancer and you've taken Zantac or a generic equivalent, call the legal helpline now. You could receive a free cash award and have your medical expenses covered. And there's no upfront cost to you. They only get paid if you win. So please call now. 800-998-7173. 800-998-7173. 800-998-7173. That's 800-998-7173.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
It's Free Talk Live. Phone is here. If you want to join us, you can. The number is 603-283-6160. You want to weigh in on electronic ownership over our lives? You can comment. The number is 603-283-6160. And by the way, kudos to the Odyssey viewers, man. They've been chatting like crazy in there tonight. I need to pull up Odyssey more often. We were talking about this off the air, Aria, that, you know, Odyssey's our favorite platform, but it's the one that's actually the least accessible, at least during the show, because we're, to most of our platforms, we stream through a company called Restream, and they make a handy little app that kind of pulls all of the different chats from DLive and Twitch and wherever else that we might be. Actually, I don't think we're getting them from really anywhere else at this time. But
that's really the coolest aspect about it, because yeah. I was thinking about, we need a way to take all, because we had a Twitch window open, a DLive window open, and
this is
YouTube window
a year
open.
Or two ago, yeah.
So if we can get all of these in one place. And then Restream actually did that already.
They did that, except they don't support Odyssey yet. And I guess you've got a meeting with Restream coming up next month, so
yes.
Maybe you know we're gonna put it in front of them. And I imagine we're not the only ones who have done this. I presume because Odyssey is getting a lot bigger, a lot of people are streaming, and a lot of people are posting videos over there. So
from what I can tell, though, the way that Odyssey handles streaming is unlike the way anyone else handles streaming. They have the one stream URL that is always the same.
Yeah, I've never seen another thing like that. You always have the same amount of likes that accumulate.
Yeah, versus YouTube, which creates its own instance of each time you stream, even if the API key never actually changes.
Yeah, I know what you mean. You can do that with Odyssey, but you have to go in and update it every single time, which we don't have time to do, right? Like,
right.
When we want to start the show, we just want to hit a button and start the show.
But then, that doesn't mean it's unworkable, right?
Yeah, no, it can be done. So, anyway, I just want to give those guys a shout-out because they're probably the most active. They are definitely the most active chat. So if you want to follow us, you want to watch us on a streaming platform that is not going to take us down, then you want to follow us on Odyssey. So it's video.freetalklive.com. That's how you can follow our channel there. And by the way, we just crossed 1,000 subscribers on Odyssey. So thank you to everybody that is following our channel there. Definitely appreciate it. So, you know what, I've got related news to what we've been talking about here, people, and getting crazy amounts of notifications, spending a ton of time obsessing over digital things. San Francisco, California, studyfinds.org, reporting, this came out 2 weeks ago, children's screen time has doubled during the so-called pandemic, and it hasn't gone down since, according to new research. Researchers from the University of California, San Francisco, say youngsters are now spending almost 8 hours per day looking at smartphones, televisions and tablets.
No, no way. No way. That's a severe underestimate. Even before the pandemic.
You think it's more than eight?
It's got to be. Even before the pandemic, the average American child watched 5 hours of television per day. That's just television.
Oh, yeah. If you're counting television and phones, I would have to say that my little brother and sister do more than eight. Well, at least my little brother. My little sister has other interests like clothes and stuff.
Mm-hmm. And then you throw in Zoom and, you know, Facebook and Snapchat and all of these other things. It's got to be well over 8 hours per day. It's going to be more like 15 to 16.
Well, they're saying that prior to COVID, the number was less than four. And now it is doubled to almost eight. Concerningly, the figure...
I don't see how that could be including television in that.
Doesn't include time spent on computer... Okay. So it doesn't include schoolwork.
Oh. Then, okay. So we are at 12 to 13 at least hours per day.
Researchers focused completely on recreational activities like playing video games, chatting on social media, texting, surfing the internet, and watching or streaming movies and television shows. Along with contributing to a more sedentary lifestyle, study authors say the shift is also affecting the mental health of many adolescents.
If they have their own device, then definitely more than 8 hours a day.
And most of them do, right? Like, because parents don't want them on their devices. Right?
Yeah, that's how you end up with, like, $10,000 charges on the Apple Store or whatever.
Yeah.
As screen time increased, so did adolescents' worry and stress while their coping abilities declined, said
Weird.
Why?
That they would lose the ability to cope with stress and they would become more stressed out as they stared at these glowing boxes and didn't interact with other human beings?
So you're being facetious.
Yes.
Okay. Corresponding author Dr. Jason Nagata said in a university release, quote, though social media and video chat can foster social connection and support, we found that most of the adolescent screen use during the pandemic didn't serve this purpose. And I got to disagree. I don't think it fosters anything about social connection and support. I think that's just what people say.
I tend to agree. It's like saying that listening to a CD is the same as hearing a band live. It's like, oh, well, it's just as good. You're listening to or you're watching the live stream performance of this band. It's like, no, it's not the same.
It doesn't have the energy.
No, as they said about the Impressionist paintings, it's an impression of a human interaction, but it's not a human interaction.
Right. I remember during the COVID, the heaviest part of COVID last year, they were doing online concerts. And I just thought, this is the dumbest thing.
And online dances.
That was even worse. looking at these, I felt so sorry for the bands that were doing this. I mean, obviously they're trying to do what they can because they can't book a gig anywhere. There's like nowhere that would take them at that time. So, I mean, I can't blame them for trying it. But anybody that's honest with you in these bands would tell you that this sucks.
Yeah, there was always these like DJs that used to like... They would be doing, like, we're going to be doing a Zoom or something like that of our DJ sets. Come watch my set. And I would just be like, why would I do that? Why would I want to sit in my room and watch your DJ set?
Well, because you had nothing else to do, right? Like, if
that didn't happen to me when I had nothing to do.
Well, yeah, but you were doing things. You were going out. You were going and
doing Ubers.
So even when the quote-unquote lockdown was, most people were following it, you were going out to work and doing things. But in a
were
lot
most
of,
people following it?
I think so.
Most people were following it in San Antonio. I was once the only car in my line of sight in San Antonio, which is normally like 100 cars.
Yeah.
I mean, here in Keene, we're pretty insulated as far as libertarians and stuff go, and it's New Hampshire, so people are sort of intransigent toward the federal government and its lockdowns and all of that in the first place, but it shocks me to think that these people actually sat in their homes by themselves for weeks and months at a time.
It was so sad to see people posting online about lockdown this and quarantine that, and like they would put the word quarantine in front of their workout session or quarantine, you know, like whatever sort of social media
quarantine
that they were creating.
Makeup.
Quarantine makeup. Like this was what they were doing in quarantine because that's how serious they were taking it. It was really pathetic. And some of them are still doing this. Some people are still...
You know what we have in common with them? Most of them? We didn't die of COVID-19.
Yes, that's true. And we were going out partying in Central Square. So, anyway, kids doubling their screen time. And of course, we also saw, they don't mention it in this story, but, you know, you're going to get fat doing that. Lockdowns, online learning, and social distance has led to a reliance on digital media for nearly all facets of adolescents' lives over the last 2 years. The journal is first to show, that's from JAMA Pediatrics, is the first to show an increase using data from across the U.S. from over 5,400 participants between the ages of 10 and 14 who self-reported their screen time before and during the pandemic. Results also show that adolescents on average looking at screens for the recreational 7.7 hours per day. And again, that's up from 3.8 hours for the same group of children from prior to the pandemic. It usually centers around watching or streaming videos, movies, or television shows, so not even interacting with other people. Playing single or multiplayer video games also contributed to the increase.
You've got to remember, they excluded schoolwork from this.
Correct.
So that's 5 to 7 hours per day that these kids are sitting in front of screens. And the reason they call it screen time is because it's not particularly good for you.
Mm-hmm.
So parents are supposed to, like, keep an eye on it and minimize it. And now, no, suddenly your kids are watching, what did you say, 7.7 hours per day?
Of recreational screen time.
Plus 5 to 7 for schoolwork?
Mm-hmm.
That's 12 to 14 hours a day of staring at a screen.
And they also said that it may be affecting poorer communities more. Black and Latino adolescents and those in lower-income households have even higher screen time. They say this may be due to a structural or systemic factor such as lack of financial resources to do other kinds of activities or lack of access to safe outdoor spaces. So, yeah, not looking good out there for young people as far as them getting out of the house, as far as them getting some exercise, as far as them actually getting in front of other human beings, they're, you know, similar ages or whatever. Times are changing.
I do think, pandemic or no pandemic, the screens are making kids more socially awkward because my little sister and brother are a perfect example. My little sister is, like, 2 years older. She just has other interests, like dance and, like, social things. And my little brother is just addicted to screens. And he just, like, he's less good with other little kids sometimes. It's so, like, she could
be mean.
What did
he do on the first day of school?
He flipped off his classmates. And my mom was so embarrassed. I don't know why he did that.
Because his favorite YouTube streamer does that.
Probably.
My mom doesn't know where he learned it or anything.
And the funny thing was, it was like his first day at a brand new school in a brand new location. I just thought it was hilarious.
It's not funny.
Folks, looks like food shortages are here. I'm going to stick around. Supply chains are breaking down, and inflation is back with a vengeance. It's all part of the shortage economy. What used to be unthinkable is now in the headlines. Are you ready? Do you currently have a stockpile of emergency food at home? If not, go to MyPatriotSupply.com today, and you'll find an emergency food kit that's right for you and your family. My Patriot Supply is the largest preparedness company in America, serving millions of families like yours. Pick up a 3-month food kit that stays fresh for up to 25 years in proper storage. The meals in the kit provide over 2,000 delicious calories a day. That's important when you need to survive. Order from MyPatriotSupply.com and your food will ship fast in unmarked boxes to protect your privacy. Don't wait for permission or more empty store shelves. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
An important message from Byram Healthcare. If you live with diabetes, you know how challenging and painful it can be to manage your blood sugar. With private insurance, Medicare, or Medicaid, that can all change. If you test your blood sugar 4 or more times a day and inject insulin 3 or more times a day, you may qualify to receive at little or no cost, less copays and deductibles, a continuous glucose monitor, providing blood sugar readings with no uncomfortable finger sticks. That alerts you in real time to potential spikes with your blood sugar levels. Byram Healthcare is a leading U.S. provider of continuous glucose monitors. We carry most major brands and will work with your insurance to get your benefits approved. So if you have diabetes, call a U.S.-based Byram Healthcare specialist now and see if you qualify.
800-535-6078. 800-535-6078. 800-535-6078. That's 800-535-6078.